Hey everyone, welcome back to the Chinese Sayings Podcast. I thank you all for tuning in and listening. Today, we look at a Chengyu that I would put in the well-known category. That is to say, it's pretty well-known. Mao Sui Zi Jian. This one has a nice backstory and takes place in the Warring States period, that richest and most fertile time when some of the best and longest-lasting Chengyus emerged. And for the 16th or 17th time already, we're reaching into that veritable gold mine of Chengyus and great stories from ancient China, the record of the grand historian. And this one comes to us from the chapter Ping Yuan Jun Yu Qing Lie Zhuan, the biography of Yu Qing, Lord Ping Yuan. And this Lord Ping Yuan, or Ping Yuan Jun, was also called Zhao Sheng. He was the younger brother of King Hui Wen of Zhao, and served as chancellor to both King Hui Wen and his successor, Lord Ping Yuan's nephew, King Xiaocheng. And from the start of Hui Wen to the end of Xiaocheng was 298 to 245 BC. Lord Ping Yuan, he lived from 308 to 251 BC. This was during a very consequential time in the history of Zhao and the whole Warring States period. And we'll get to all that in the story behind this Chengyu, Mao Sui Zijian. As far as the four characters that make up this Chinese saying, Mao Sui, well, that was a person's name. He was not anyone of particular consequence from greater Chinese history, and to be honest, not even from his time. We don't know the dates when he lived. We assume because the grand historian went to the trouble to mention him that, well, he did once walk this earth. And Zijian means to recommend oneself, or to step up and volunteer. So, Mao Sui Zijian means Mao Sui volunteers himself. Let's dive right into the story. Mid-3rd century BC, we all know it won't be long before Ying Zheng, the king of Qin, puts an end to the other six warring states. Pretty much, since the mid-4th century BC, Qin state had commenced its long march to unify China, and under the long-reigning Qin king, Zhao Xiang, Qin was proving to be an unstoppable force who put constant stress on the other warring states. Zhao Xiang was the grandfather to the first emperor, Qin Shi Huang. And by this time in Chinese history, late warring states, just before unification in 221 BC, the remaining states knew, without forming alliances, they'd be swallowed up by Qin. And Zhao's number came up in the year 262 BC, when their army clashed with the Qin army led by one of the most victorious generals in world history, Bai Qi, at Changping, today's Gaoping, in Shanxi province near the Henan border. And this battle yielded that old Chengyu from Season 6, Episode 6, Zhisheng Tan Bing. How can we forget Zhao Kuo? He could defeat any opponent on paper, but when it came to the real thing, he learned right quick about that chasm that often existed between theory and reality. So in 260 BC, the ever-victorious Qin general Bai Qi annihilated the Zhao army, and there are stories that say 450,000 Zhao soldiers perished in this conflict, many of them allegedly buried alive on Bai Qi's orders. Well, despite the disastrous defeat, Zhao still managed to hang in there for another 38 years until 222 BC, when King Ying Zheng put them away for good. But after Changping, the Qin army couldn't resist sticking it to Zhao when they continued to attack them. And in 259, Qin laid siege to the Zhao capital in present-day Handan, right near the southern border of Hebei. And unable to break the siege, Zhao King Xiaocheng in 257 BC called in his uncle, Lord Ping Yuan, and told him unless they could get some help from the kingdom of Chu to the south, it was going to be curtains for Zhao. And after discussing the matter, it was agreed that Lord Ping Yuan would select 20 capable men from among his 3,000 Mun Ke, or followers, to accompany him on this secret mission to Chu, where he planned to meet with their king, Cao Lie, and try to enlist his help in sending troops to break this siege Qin had set up around the Zhao capital. And when Lord Pingyuan was selecting his 20 men, well, he got as far as 19 and had some trouble finding that last member of his delegation to Chu. And as time passed, one of his hangers-on, Mao Sui, stepped forward and volunteered himself to Lord Pingyuan. And he said, "Let me be your 20th man and help out in this dark hour for Zhao." Well, Lord Pingyuan was sort of taken aback and asked, "Well, first of all, who are you? Well, I see you serve among my retainers, but I don't think I ever recall seeing you before." And Mao Sui replied that, well, he had worked in the capital for 3 years now and had been serving loyally, to which Lord Pingyuan replied frankly, "Well, you must not be too terribly talented or capable, because I cannot recall a single achievement or deed attributed to you that might allow me to remember who you are." Lord Pingyuan continued, "You know, people of talent are like an awl or a sharp leather punch that's placed inside of a cloth sack. Their talent and ability is like the pointed end of that sharp tool. It will always punch through the fabric and reveal itself." Mao Sui said, "Well, while that may be true, he was like that sharp pointed awl, and that had Lord Pingyuan given him a chance and placed him inside that bag already, well, by now he would have seen that he, Mao Sui, was no ordinary rank-and-file member among his retainers." Mao Sui succeeded in convincing Lord Pingyuan to select him, and now with all 20 men in place, they went down to the Chu capital to meet with the king and line up his support to help break this siege of Handan by the Qin army. And when Lord Pingyuan sat across from Chu King Cao Lie and negotiated with him all morning and all afternoon, the king kept shaking his head and refused to consider any kind of alliance, temporary or otherwise. And he rebuffed all the entreaties of this envoy from Zhao State and insisted Chu would not take part in this military action against Qin. And when all appeared lost and with King Cao Lie not giving Lord Pingyuan any face, it was looking like they were all going to return to Zhao empty-handed. And then from out of the shadows came a strong voice, boldly admonishing the king of Chu and asking him what's so difficult about coming to a decision about a matter such as this. And when King Cao Lie of Chu heard this, he asked Lord Pingyuan, "Who is this guy, speaking out of turn, daring to interrupt?" And Lord Pingyuan introduced Mao Sui and said, "Yeah, he was one of his gang." Mao Sui, seeing this whole negotiation going nowhere, approached the king of Chu, who was aghast at such a breach in protocol. Mao Sui put his hand on the hilt of his sword and said, "You're only acting so obstinate because you're the king of Chu, surrounded by guards, and you use your power here to push us around and don't show any respect to my lord Pingyuan. Right now I could pull my sword and decapitate you." King Cao Lie told Mao Sui that, okay, he had his attention. And Mao Sui explained plainly that Qin was no friend of Chu and had even defeated them and even taken their capital in 278 BC. And they remained a threat to Chu that got more palpable every day. And he asked, why on earth, given the current situation, would Chu not come to the aid of Zhao and help break this siege of Handan? He pleaded with the king to see how this matter was quite simple. Chu gets to enjoy some revenge for what Qin had done to them, and at the same time, together with Zhao, they put up a united front against their mutual antagonizer. And after speaking up so forcefully, yet convincingly, like he did, the king of Chu was able to see the light, and he agreed to come to the aid of Zhao and join together to push Qin away from Handan. And after Lord Pingyuan returned to Zhao, even though a week ago he had no idea who Mao Sui was and that he had been in his organization for 3 years, he treated Mao Sui as an honored guest. And as Sima Qian wrote in the Shiji, Lord Pingyuan said, "Mao Xiansheng Yi Zhi Chu, Chu Wang Jiu Bu Gan Xiao Kan Zhao Guo." As soon as Mr. Mao arrived in Chu, the king of Chu did not dare to look down on Zhao. And thanks to Mao Sui's exhortations, the Chu king indeed came to Zhao's defense, and along with forces sent from Wei State, Qin was overwhelmed and had to retreat. and thus the siege of the Zhao capital, Handan, was broken. As for Mao Sui, well, he was sort of a one-hit wonder, and there's very little, if anything else, mentioned about him beyond his walk-on role he played in assisting his lord Ping Yuan Jun at a most critical hour. He had boldly volunteered himself as worthy to be among these 20 retainers selected for this mission, and despite Lord Ping Yuan's reservations concerning Mao Sui's abilities, when the moment came to shine, Mao Sui rose to the occasion. In contemporary usage, Mao Sui Zijian is often used to encourage proactive and self-confident behavior, especially in situations where one believes they can make a positive impact or contribution. It conveys the idea of stepping up and taking the initiative and showcasing one's abilities without waiting for others to recognize them. It sometimes happens when in public or in one's place of employment, or like Mao Sui, when serving your nation. In desperate times when a champion is needed, you volunteer your services and then go on to make all the difference in overcoming the challenge of the moment and assist in achieving whatever the objective is. So that's the tale of Mao Sui. He wasn't anyone of consequence, but when the time came, he wasn't afraid to volunteer at a crucial moment and went on to show that he had what it took to solve the crisis or problem at hand. Mao Sui Zijian, a good one to use. Local, state, and national volunteers, they're among the most noble. So let's all keep Mao Sui in the back of our mind. Okay, that's going to be it. My thanks, as always, to Emma and the Chengyu Yanjiu Zhongxin for all her help in getting this CSP episode produced and into your podcast listening queue. So, until the next time, damas y caballeros, this is Laszlo Montgomery signing off from Santa Monica, California, wishing you all my very best, and like Mao Sui did to King Cao Lie, exhorting you to come back next time for another exciting episode of the Chinese Sayings Podcast.